Box 277, The Dogs of Winter. And you are clearly ready to be put down, you stupid mangy orange mongrel.
You're stupid. Shut up, Piggy. Fusebox is a fake podcast. You're a fat hoax. Your ratings are low. Witch hunt, Benghazi, emails. And your fake dog is stupid, too. And I... Uh-oh. Get that mutt away from me. Go away. Go away. I hate dogs. They remind me of my first wife. Hey. Fake news. Fake news. Ow. Ow. Ah, stop it. I'll sue. I'll... Ow. Antifa. Get him off me. I'll bomb your fat, stupid loser show back to the Stone Age. Ow. Ow. Get off me. You're messing up my comb over. You're smearing my orange makeup. Ow. I'll stick ice on you. You're all be deported. You're all gonna be deported. Ow, ow. My tiny child-sized hands. Oh, the humanity.
Frankly, friend, I think that may still be the best solution to our MAGA, dementia-addled, fascist, racist, fake president problem.
You mean a pack of wild Democrat dogs, yeah?
As wild and as hungry as possible.
Yeah, I'd cover Trump in pork chops first.
Huh. Can dogs smell pedophiles? Oh, ha! Hello, friends. Welcome in to... Oh, who's a good boy? yes, welcome in to Fusebox number 277, righteously titled The Dogs of Winter. And, of course, much more about that tantalizing title in a bit. I'm your savoring the flavor without really tasting it host, Mark Rose, and right over there, the Fusebox pinch hitter par excellence, the undisputed Duke and Duchess of the Dials, Milt Caines, everybody.
Well, thank you, sort of kindly. And welcome back, bro.
Well, yeah, word has it that while I was away adventuring, you and Jeff held it together here quite splendidly.
Oh, man, total blast, bro. Seriously. It was a damn fun show to do.
Yeah.
You know, you really should go away more often, man.
Yeah?
Dude, Pollard and I tore it up. Well, at least that's how I remembered it. Things kind of got a little hazy because we debriefed at Suicide Sally's afterwards. And I'm pretty damn sure Sally slipped a Mickey in my chili tots.
I see.
Yeah, I did too. Colors, though, bro. That's all I remember. Hey, did you know that you can actually smell purple?
Well, yes. Yes, I did. But be that as it was in my experimental days. Now, I haven't pushed play on 276 yet, but did the show and or your debriefing involve pudding? I didn't notice any tapioca clogging the soundboard or other equipment here in Studio 51, so I assume not. Wait a second. Is that butterscotch in your beard?
Maybe.
Did you invite Joyce DeWitt to the debriefing by any chance, Mr. Caines?
You know what, bro?
You should call her.
I should call her.
You know, you really do need to learn to just say no to booze and pudding. Friends, we've got a titillatingly tantalizing show for you, including news of a new style of yoga that is positively slithering its way into the hearts and minds and possibly pants of Portland folks. Plus,
oh, this is so Portland, bro.
True enough. Plus, we'll have a hot new review from 42nd Street Pete, who dug through his dank and dusty vaults to find Shanghai Joe from that steamy year of 1978. So, stay with us, aren't we?
I'll tell you what, I aren't. I aren't doing this latest yoga craze, I can tell you that. Ugh.
Watch out for snakes.
You know, it's no secret, I'm a big fan of the Grindhouse period of cinematic history, and nothing covers these times and events better than Grindhouse Resurrection magazine. For one thing, the folks who write for it have first-hand experience with what they're writing about. They were actually there, maybe even created some of the films we're talking about. Like in issue number 2, a rather scathing and wonderfully insightful article on the BS on Blu-ray. Not everything on that format should be. And in an article by Richard Tater, he outlines a few of the direct-to-video films that probably didn't warrant the restoration, or for that matter, the hefty price tag. I'd call that a public service. So will you. Pick up a copy of Grindhouse Resurrection magazine. Info on ordering your copy is in the show description. I promise you, you won't be disappointed.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
And we are back.
So, did you win?
Win?
Yeah, man, the Who Did It Rod.
Yes, well, friends, as you know, I was up way up in Nome, Alaska, helping an absolutely wonderful radio station up there, KNOM.
Too bad they couldn't get K-O-L-D.
I see what you did there. Anyway, KNOM goes back to the early 1970s, so they've been at it for quite a while.
Yeah, no small feat there, bro. Good for them.
Yeah.
That's a long run. So, did you freeze your giblets off up there?
It was a bit nippy, as they say. Most days it was just a few degrees above zero. When the wind blew, though, the temperature could potentially go down into the double negative numbers. Fortunately, we didn't experience that type of cold very often. In fact, it was actually sunny most days.
And isn't it dark like 5,104 days a year up there?
Actually, the opposite. Oh. In the summer, the sun stays out most of the day. It might dip between the horizon at like, 3 a.m., but then it comes right back up a minute or two later.
Wow. Pretty weird.
Right now, the weather's a lot like it is here, although the sun rises at about 9:45 in the morning and gets dark at like 10:30 at night.
So you didn't get attacked by a killer Kodiak moose or a pack of polar wolverines or anything?
I'm happy to report that it was pretty quiet in that department, Mr. Keynes. But then the dogs and thousands of folks were running and watching the Iditarod, so...
Bro, how long is that race anyway?
In miles?
Yeah.
950 this year. And over rough and inhospitable terrain, too. Sadly, I had to leave before the winner crossed the finish line. It's kind of tough to plan exactly when that'll occur, because the race takes as long as it takes, right? But they track the progress all along the trail and keep an eye on the mushers as they pass each of the checkpoints, where they also change dogs out like pit crews change out tires in auto races.
Yeah, you know, I might want to see that someday if they hold it in Maui.
Sorry, Mr. Keynes. The Iditarod is the province of the great state of Alaska, so just dress warm.
Nah, cold doesn't bother me. I have built-in layers, bro. Besides, I once worked in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Not the same. Not even close.
Okay, well, what about Kankakee, Illinois? Or Slapneck, Michigan? Big Arm, Montana?
You're getting warmer, and by warmer, I mean colder. It was definitely cold. It's Alaska in March, but it was a whole lot of fun, and I'm actually looking forward to going back next year, as I'll probably be helping out KNOM again.
Well, good on you, bro. Me and Pollard had a blast here holding down the fort, as I said, and yeah, you know, whenever you want to leave town again, we're covered here.
And speaking of degenerates...
Fair enough.
While I was flying back to Portland, something occurred to me as a kind of bent analogy of our present government.
Yeah, there are plenty of Republican degenerates to go around these days.
Well, I was just thinking about the level of consmarm in this present regime, and it occurred to me that... you know, it's just like that spam that turns up in our email boxes. You know, the fake note from your bank or some other official agency, that cheesy, come on and get a free this or that, or just by clicking a special link. You know, those nefarious interweb lies designed to cheat people out of their money.
Personally, bro, I try to avoid all that crap by actually not having an inbox. But yeah, I catch your drift.
Well, our current so-called government is starting to look exactly like one of those cheesy, scam-filled with a side of sleaze emails. Lying, cheating, deceiving, and above all, hiding their real motivations behind a stinky, scummy veneer.
A stinky, scummy orange veneer, I bet.
You know, like the logo in some of these emails will say, like, FedRex rather than FedEx, or Costco is spelled with a zero instead of an O. It just feels really sleazy these days. How many more distractions will there be for Trump and his MAGA ilk to employ in order to avoid all the real issues? At some point, I hope Trump will be hit with a heavy dose of reality.
You mean like, maybe the Epstein files and the Republican Party's effort to protect pedophiles?
And we've got so-called Attorney General Pam Bondi doing anything and everything she can do to avoid having to testify and tell the truth. I'm serious. The next step for her will be contempt of Congress. And we'll get to witness firsthand how that bottle blonde con gal fares when the proverbial crap hits the proverbial fan. I, for one, can't wait for that day, let me tell you.
Yeah, we'll have to keep a third eye peeled on that situation, bro. You can just bet that some Republican on their oversight committee will...
Can you say James Comer?
Yeah, it'll no doubt come from him for sure. Some fake rationale for suspending the subpoena... Well, you know, Pam Bondi did give a briefing, but, you know, the Democrats just walked out on it, so she did her part.
Yeah, indeed. And speaking of wriggling, there is an apparently amazing new fitness program that is, it's creeping across the country. HISS, that's with... Three S's, friends, is a reptile pet shop that opened here in Portland, Oregon last year in August. Anyway, they are hosting, and I'm not making this up, regular snake yoga classes that invite attendees to, quote, uncoil your body and quiet your mind, unquote.
No.
Classes.
No. Just no.
No? Classes feature four snakes, including corn snakes, ball pythons, and red-tailed boas.
No.
Plus other reptiles, including miso. Bearded dragon, along with an Argentine black and white tegu and an Aldabra tortoise as regular visitors. Quoting again, "It's a real positive experience and it's very transformative," said yoga instructor Katie Vanek. Snakes make you confront a fear factor. It can be challenging because there's an animal that sometimes makes people feel uncomfortable. or is misunderstood. They remind you of fears and challenges you can overcome.
No, no freaking way, bro. No, forget it.
As you can imagine, space is tight in the shop's lobby.
No, no way in hell.
Oh, dear. Well, it fits up to 14 participants there, and the class is open to all ages and experience levels. Quoting, a lot of people are excited and nervous.
Oh, nervous? Yeah, you think?
Said Hiss owner Drew Morales. There are a lot of people that come here to get over their fear of snakes, so that's very amazing and incredible that we have an opportunity to help them with that.
Help? Is he freaking kidding?
He continues, I'm all about fostering curiosity and really getting everyone of all ages inspired and curious about all of the creepy crawlers, Morales said. And during December's yoga class, a trio of snake handlers moved among participants, gently redirecting snakes that wandered, and occasionally placing them on people.
Oh, that noise. No way in hell.
These animals are never forced on you, Morales said. We always ensure they're comfortable and you're comfortable. Evie Hall, owner of PDX Critters, brought Jules, her 3-year-old coastal carpet python. Jules is a regular at birthday parties, educational events, and the Portland night market. She says a lot of people actually keep snakes as emotional support animals because it kind of feels like they're giving you a hug, she said. I think it's just the feeling of their muscles moving, and they just love to explore and wrap around. It's a really interesting experience having a snake crawl all over you.
Oh, for God's sakes. Oh, yeah.
Snakes hear primarily by detecting vibrations through their jawbones. In one exercise, Vanek led the class in a steady hum, asking them to put your vibration out there so they can hear you a little bit more. Snakes make surprisingly capable yoga partners. For one, they're flexible, but they're also slow and methodical in their movements. They're very grounding. It's almost like a weighted blanket, Morales said, to feel them choose you and embody your energy. Most of the time, we're grabbing cats or dogs and holding them. Here, the snakes are almost grabbing us.
Of course they're grabbing you, bro. That's what snakes do. Grab and bite.
And speaking of creepy crawly things, you know, it's been a while since we visited the files of that place down there in that area down there. So we've got a few zingers here.
Dateline Jacksonville.
Right out of the chute, or should I say, right into a mental institution, a Florida woman has been accused of entering the penguin enclosure at a local zoo to teach them to tap dance.
Well, of course she did.
Oh, it gets better, Mr. Gates. Ready?
Yeah, bring it.
She was using a live alligator as her dance partner.
Holy crap. What is this?
But wait, there's still more yet still.
Oh, here it comes.
According to the Jacksonville Police Department, she was also dressed as a pineapple.
And there it is.
Dateline, Tarpon Springs.
A Florida man was arrested recently for calling Tarpon Springs police to report that his wife was actually a black widow spider.
Sounds like he married my second wife, Janine. So that actually might be true.
61-year-old William Rutger from Tarpon Springs called 911 at approximately 1:30 in the morning on a Tuesday to tell the dispatcher he was married to an arachnid. He also wanted her to be Baker acted
What's Baker Acted?
The Baker Act. That's having someone institutionalized against their will.
Oh, you know what? That's what I should have done with Janine.
No doubt, Mr. Case. Anyway, the caller, Mr. Rutger, according to a responding officer, was reportedly slurring his words and appeared intoxicated. Officer Jacob Miller told Rutger that the 911 system was for emergencies only. Officer Miller did not arrest Rutger at that time. But in the police report, Miller did state that Rutger had slurred speech and an odor of alcoholic beverage emanate from his breath and person, and did not express coherent thoughts. A couple of hours later, after 3 a.m., Rutger called 911 again. And told,
yep, this dude's begging to get hauled off to the hoosegow.
And again, told the dispatcher that his wife was a black widow spider. Rutger was then arrested and charged with misusing the 911 system. The Smoking Gun reported that Rutger is the author of a 2009 book titled The Alcoholic's Guide to Adventure. The book is a, quote, lighthearted jaunt into the sublime world of drunken decadence, unquote. According to its listing on Amazon.
Order now, folks. Get a membership to AA absolutely free.
Dateline, Jensen Beach.
And finally, this curious piece. A Florida man was arrested after slapping his girlfriend with a cheeseburger.
Would you like fries with that slap?
30-year-old Kyle Jones was arrested after his girlfriend called authorities, claiming she woke up to Jones slapping her with the cheeseburger before pulling her hair and kicking her down the stairs. When deputies arrived, the girlfriend had several remnants of said cheeseburger on her, according to the police report. Jones has since been released from jail on bond.
And is headed to Taco Bell to rearm himself, no doubt.
Dear friends, these are but a few tiny but important examples of why Fusebox searches the deepest depths, the highest highs, the lowest lows to find the answer to the question...
What the f***, Florida?
Is your country going to hell? Join the club. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Friends, let us free ourselves of the flawed fecundity of Florida with the comparative sanity of another rip-snorting edition of 42nd Street Pete's Grindhouse Minute. An absolutely irresistible mashup where martial arts meets spaghetti western. In 1978's infamous Shanghai Joe. Take it away, Pete.
Chen Li, 7th degree black belt in karate. Shanghai Joe. The first film to feature American locations since Enter the Dragon. It stars Chen Li, real brother in arms of Bruce Lee. Shanghai Joe. Man, it's a real kick in the...
And now it's time for another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
Let me take you back to 1978 in the waning days of the spaghetti westerns. But Kung Fu and spaghetti westerns sort of tied together with Shanghai Joe, the story of a Chinese immigrant who arrives in the Wild West to become a cowboy. Thing is, Shanghai Joe is played by a Japanese guy. Here it is. He comes in. He wants to be a cowboy in the West, and he gets hired by this ranch. But they're not herding cattle. They're herding Mexicans for slave labor. So when the Corrales find this out, of course, his companions start gunning down the poor Mexicans, which sort of pisses Joe off a little bit. And he takes umbrage in Kung Fu's no more. Then he rescues one and brings him back and finds out that the guy who's doing this is a landowner. who for fun lets Mexicans run away and shoots them down. So he goes out, messes around with the guy, takes him out, beats the crap out of him, and then lets him go. Well, that might have been a bad move, because now he gets in touch with the rest of the ranchers saying that, you know, Joe is a problem here, and we got to hire some guys to take him out. So they hire three guys who were spaghetti Western icons. Robert Hundar as Pedro the Cannibal, Klaus Kinski as Jack the Scalper in a really weird role, Giacconi Ross as Tricky the Gambler, and Gordon Mitchell, the bodybuilder, as a grave digger. I guess Pedro was interested in some Chinese food, but Joe sort of kills him with the cookware. With Tricky the Gambler, he gets set up in a saloon, and he puts his clothes on one of the bad guys, kicks him through the door, and the guy's blown to bits. And then in one of those little kung fu moments that we all love, he yanks out Tricky's eyeballs with one thrust. Then it's the grave digger, Gordon Mitchell, who basically sets a pit of spikes for him. And you think that Joe falls into it, but he doesn't. Instead, he flips the grave digger into the spikes, ending him. Now with Jack the Scalper, Jack gets a hold of his girlfriend after scalping one of the magistrates and pretty much has Joe under control after, you know, supposedly immobilizing him by stabbing him in the legs. Well, Jack keeps three knives in his vest on each side of him, and Joe gets up and basically leg locks him, driving the knives into him, and that's the end of Jack the Scalper. So they bring in, of course, a kung fu master from the Far East who they have the standoff, and Joe dispatches him with a thrust through the chest and pulls his beating heart out and drops it on the ground. So, of course, you know, Joe doesn't marry the love interest. He wants to go out and tame the old Wild West and rides off for another sequel, Shanghai Joe 2, which again starred Klaus Kinski.
Stay safe. We'll catch you on the flip side.
This has been another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
Well, that'd be another one from old Pete I've never seen before. I do like a good Western, though. Just saying.
You know, I must confess, that one slipped by my eyeballs, too. I did see Jesse James versus Dracula, though.
Wait, is that a real thing?
Sadly, yes.
Of course it is, bro. And I bet you loved every freaking weird minute of it, too.
Well, you know what? As Pete was saying there, you can never go wrong with Klaus Kinski in anything.
Oh, I've heard you can go very, very wrong with Kinski.
Oh, were you talking about that with the legendary Werner Herzog again?
Maybe. Personally, I'd have murdered Kinski if I were old Werner there, but that's...
A story for another day. Thanks, 42nd Street Pete, for yet another enlightening look into the wonderfully weird world of Grindhouse Fair. And with that, we'll call it a show, friends.
Yep. Kinski would have been a dead man.
Yeah. We shall conclude our proceedings here, but not before thanking our contributors to this edition of Fuse Box, Mackenzie Main, Gregory Wilson, and once again, our good buddy 42nd Street Pete. Thanks as well to the interdependent man of mystery, the Lord of Loudness, Milt Keynes, technical assistance and so forth and so on and such.
It's been a true moment in time, bro.
And Fuseboxian thanks also to the gloriously ghastly and grimy folks at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their ongoing support and goodwill. Find out all about those fine folks at 42ndstreetpete.net. And, of course, thanks to you folks for dropping the needle on this one. It's always our pleasure to serve you up another hot-off-the-griddle plateful of ear food audio goodness. I have, once again, been your side-eyed glance from a flounder in residence, host Mark Rose, saying, until our next cartoon.
Fuse.